Blog Talk Radio.
Spencer's right. That is a really, that gets you pumped up for this podcast. Welcome to the Iron Jaw Podcast. I am your host, Michael Davis, with back-to-back consecutive podcasts on two separate days. First of all, I would love to start out with thanking my friend Dwayne Weaver, the Texas official who agreed to let me interview him yesterday. He provides some great insight, and you know, it really helped. He wasn't bugged by so many tags and, you know, so many messages, and he was just superb. I couldn't have asked for a better first-time guest. And so I want to dig in right here. As you know, I am a Duke fan. Don't want to talk as a Duke fan about this. But last night's game between Duke and Wisconsin, two number one seeds, was probably, you know, the greatest college basketball championship game I have seen in the last while. I thought Duke and Butler was good, but I think this game talked it, and you know, many will disagree, but that's just how I feel. Duke ended up winning 68-63. The game was tied at halftime at 31, and I remember telling my friend Bradley Bounds, you know, we were talking at halftime and saying, oh, let's go to overtime. And, well, it was a really close game throughout. And Wisconsin, for those who didn't watch, I know some didn't, like Isaiah Carlton. I've already given three people shout-outs. That's what you get when you listen to the Iron Jaw Podcast. But for those who didn't watch, they had a lead, and then, you know, Wisconsin bowed back tied at halftime. And at the second half, it was almost dead to rights. Wisconsin got a 9-point lead, and the momentum was just switching. I was like, this team's getting offensive rebound. It looks like, well, because I can't rebound on my NBA 2K game most of the time. So I was like, oh, my goodness, it looks like an NBA 2K game I'm playing. And Wisconsin was just looked like they wanted it more. And then all of a sudden, freshman Grayson Allen, the first guy to commit last year, he was the first guy to commit to the Duke program. You know, there's all Justice Winslow, Jahlil Okafor, Tyus Jones, but Grayson Allen was the first to commit, and he played with 200% effort. He played with his heart. I was sitting there thinking, if we want to get back in this, we're going to have a couple three-pointers. Even if they score in between those, I don't care. We just need a couple three-pointers to get us going on offense. And Grayson Allen came down and hit a three. And then there was a stop. And then he went and drove to the basket and picked up the foul and won. The and one. And I was like, wow, Grayson Allen. And I've always liked Grayson Allen this season. I thought he was underrated, but I think he stays 4 years. And that's a good thing about being underrated now in college is for the program, for the fans, they get to see these guys stay 3-4 years if you're underrated. You know, obviously, Jahlil Okafor is going pro. Justice Winslow is going pro. Though none of them's announced it, that's why I feel, especially after they won championship. I thought Winslow was gone day one. Okafor, I thought, was gone day one. But he's made comments about probably staying another year, and I thought maybe it's possible if they see it early, you know, like an Elite Eight exit. But since they won the title, I don't see him coming back. He should come back just to work on his free throws. But Grayson Allen put the team on his back, and so did Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones actually won the most outstanding player, which was basically the MVP player award, if you're not familiar with that. some of the stats by those two guys. Grayson Allen, 16 points, steal, and that steal was far none one of the best steals the entire tournament. And Tyus Jones went for 23 points and 5 rebounds. And Tyus Jones and Grayson Allen, either one of those deserve to be up there, especially with Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow in foul trouble. Okafor and Winslow still had, you know, decent games. Winslow more on the defensive end, 3 blocks, 9 rebounds, contributed 11 points, but he played 9 more minutes than Okafor, and Okafor only had 10 points and 3 rebounds. And if you watched last night's game, it was amazing to see Okafor and Kaminsky go at it. Kaminsky had Okafor's number last night. It was shocking. I thought both would have a pretty good game, but for Kaminsky to hold his own against Okafor, just on the defensive side, I thought it'd be a good offensive showing for both players because they need to work on their defense. It was mind-blowing how Okafor was just really, really, you know, missing layups and, you know, getting drawn charges. Again, 4 fouls for him and Winslow, Okafor. And on Wisconsin's side, I've already, you know, said something about Kaminsky. He ended up getting 21 points and 12 rebounds. It was amazing. And Sam Dekker, 12 points and 8 rebounds. So Sam Dekker disappointed me yesterday. Sam Dekker went 0 for 6 from 3-point range. And I swear he airballed like 2 or 3 of his shots. It was like, wow. And, you know, the one who came up in the 3-point shooting for Wisconsin was Nigel Hayes, which I didn't expect. You know, went 3 of 4. So, you know, maybe that's a good point. I was wrong about Sam Dekker that night. I still think he's a pretty good 3-point shooter, and he'll make it in the NBA. I want to mention here Dwayne Weaver's interview yesterday. You know, made me see this game in a different light. You know, many complained about the officiating, of course. And if you listen to the interview yesterday, it really changed how I view the game. And I didn't know how much it did until I actually sat down and watched Duke and Wisconsin. You know, I saw a few calls that were questionable going against Duke. That may have been me just being a fan in the moment. And then I saw on the other half, you know, it seems like it's being called both ways. And, you know, many were upset about the out-bounds play. The thing was, and I asked Dwayne Weaver about this, and he's like, let's get this clear. Anyone complain about that call? The referees called it in fast play, you know, Duke ball, okay? But people saw it bend Winslow's finger back and it touched his hand. There was no conclusive evidence that it actually, you know, was touched by Winslow. Because normally, especially with, you know, basketball, or football, once it's touched, it changes direction. It changes direction. You know, that's how you get blocks, you know, get a piece of the ball, it normally, you know, travels shorter. But it showed no change of direction, which was really weird. So, you know, it wasn't confirmed it was Duke ball. They just had to stick with their original call because there was no conclusive evidence. And I'm talking like a referee now. Before I go into the NBA draft, I would like to talk about Bo Ryan's comments. I only want to spend a couple minutes on it. If you've talked to me recently, you would know how I feel about this. Okay, so Duke obviously won the title game, 68-63. And, you know, they celebrated, cut down net, everything. And, you know, Coach K got on the mic, on the stage in front of the in the middle of the court, things he said, you know, and this is just Coach Clay, a class act. Duke, UNC fan, whatever, he's a class act. anyone would admit that. The very first thing he said was, it wasn't about Duke. It wasn't about the fans. It was about Wisconsin. He congratulated Wisconsin on a great game, which it was, one of the best ones I've seen in the past few years, Kyle game. And he thanked him on great season and congratulated him. Great game, great season. And they all celebrated and everything. And then about, I don't know, 10 minutes later, Bo Ryan is interviewed by this woman, I forget her name, interviewed outside the locker room. And you know the first thing out of his mouth was? Backhand the officials, saying it was the most handshake game he's ever seen and it wasn't fair to his players. And not once did he congratulate Duke on great game or great season. And it was just so disrespectful. It's class. I was told at a very early age by my dad, I appreciate his words, you win with class, you lose with class. And many of you know I'm not for trash talking, so I don't really get into it unless I'm kidding, you know, in person with a friend. Oh, you are, go Cowboys, go Duke. But you win with class, you lose with class. Each time I play a friend in a pickup game or doing whatever challenging, even a video game, I always say, good game, man, good game, even if I destroy them. But for Bo Ryan to be that classless, maybe I'm a little spoiled because I'm in the ACC with class acts by Coach Krzyzewski and Coach Roy Williams, who actually, Coach Williams did not attend the game last night. He normally goes to the games if he's not playing in them, but he donated his seat in memory of Bo Ryan's late father. And a class act by Roy Williams, I appreciate that kind gesture. It's amazing for Bo Ryan to do that. But right now I'm going to get into the NBA draft real quick. And I'm looking at Kaminsky. Let me start with Kaminsky. I haven't heard his name a lot. I mean, I've heard his name a lot in college thing, but I haven't heard his name a lot as a top pick, even if win National Player of the Year. I've heard about Jahlil Okafor. I've heard about Justice Winslow. I've heard about Carl Anthony Towns, Willie Cauley-Stein, that Emmanuel kid. I can't pronounce his last name. And Stanley Johnson from Arizona, who is actually really talented. I can't wait to see what he does in the NBA. But I haven't heard Frank Kaminsky. And I looked at a couple of mock drafts, and I saw him be a late lottery pick. And may I say, that would be a huge mistake for any team. It would be a huge steal to get Frank Kaminsky as a late lottery pick, or even after the lottery for one of the bum feed playoff teams. But if you do not draft Frank Kaminsky in the top 10, I would even go as far as saying he warrants a top 5 pick. He reminds me so much of Dirk Nowitzki. He doesn't have that signature fadeaway jump shot that he does, but Kaminsky's tall. He's 7 foot tall. He can shoot the three. And last night he played defense against, you know, the rumored number one or number two overall pick in the draft, Jahlil Okafor, who I think will go one or two. Just depend on the team. I can't really, you know, speak volumes about that right now. Frank Kaminsky is going to be a special, special player in this league. Jahlil Okafor, I think he's gone. Oh, and Kaminsky's a senior, so obviously. Jahlil Okafor, freshman, I think he's gone. Again, one or two picks. Justice Winslow, I believe, warrants a top 5 pick. He may slip a couple, 2 or 3 picks after that. Just a physical beast. His presence reminds me of LeBron James. So Justice Winslow he leads by example, not much as words like LeBron, and he's not too flashy. Last night's game was the first time I ever saw Justice Winslow show emotion. Like, if you see the kid, he is mature, he is calm, cool, and collected. Sam Dekker, I think he's coming out. I'm not sure if he's a senior or a junior. I would say late lottery pick at best. Obviously, last night's showing, you know, really hurt his draft stock. Unbelievably hurt his draft stock, going 0-6. And Tyus Jones, I believe Tyus Jones all along would stay at least 2 or 3 years. After last night, I wouldn't be surprised if he decided to play for the draft. I think it'd be smart for Tyus and Jahlil to, rig the system, Okafor go this year, and then Okafor use his power to get Tyus Jones to the team, drafted next year. But I think Tyus would benefit from a second year, obviously. All these kids would. But you win most outstanding player of the year. Most outstanding player of the night for the championship game. You win it. You put on your best performance all year, and it's just a fitting to go out that way. Or maybe he wants to come back. Quinn Cook is a senior. I'm glad he got his ring. And he's going to come back. He's not coming back. I think he is going to be, a second-round pick, or maybe even undrafted. That would be a shame. But would need 2 to 3 years in the developmental league, depend where he goes, depend how much depth in front of him on the main roster, and hopefully he can do that. I would also like to say that I am accepting calls, and I would love for someone to call in. If not, that's fine. But I'd be looking forward to your call if you would like to give me my opinion on something, if you would wish to do that, or if you want to talk for 2 to 3 minutes, I'm okay with that. 347-989-0920. I repeat.
Sleep Conquer, repeat.
I repeat. 347-989-0920. So, call in. I want to touch on this right now. ESPN and Sports Center. First of all, I have gotten so many warm greetings and appreciation for podcasts and for just other stuff I do. But mainly the podcast, I have gotten overwhelming support. And, yesterday was carried by Dwayne Weaver, which is really the only reason I don't have it in podcast today. And the only reason I had a podcast yesterday, he helped get my confidence back. And, he gave an in-depth interview so I could do this. But ESPN and SportsCenter really, really is disappointing me. It's disappointing. I obviously want to aspire to be a sports journalist when I grow up. I turned it on one night. It was this past weekend, probably a Thursday or Friday. And I turned it on to see, because I obviously want to see what I missed. Did I miss a big play? Did something happen in the world of sports I need to see? And I turn it on, and the co-anchor, a sports near co-anchor, late night, Kenny, teaching a yoga class. And they air it. I was baffled that it would be on sports near. And the most baffling thing is it lasted 5 to 10 minutes. and this actually gets me as equal as high as I was for Frank Kaminsky's disrespect in terms of coming out of college. But it's destroying. Like, I want to be a sports journalist, but if ESPN cannot raise, you know, raise their standards, Fox Sports and NBC, CBS Sports is not going to improve. And I'm going to get into a place that I don't love. Well, I love doing this. I love this podcast. But, like, what? And if you even check ESPN.com, completely messed up their site. It's hard to navigate now. I mean, if you went on, it is hard to navigate. It was like the guy who refurnished it, so to speak, doesn't have any experience in web development. And Grant, I have a class on my computer for web development, and I've learned second to none. Well, no, I've learned nothing. I'm kind of know coding stuff, but come on now, ESPN, get someone to, like, really good to develop your site. And it wasn't bad to begin with. I found it easy to navigate, and I love how I could see updated box scores and, you know, just so many news, easy. And as well as, you know, if the game was on live and where it was on. Can't do that with ESPN.com now. And ironically, I'm on that looking at the standings. But I also would like to point out that my friend Bradley Bounds, he showed me CBSSports.com. And so I'm obviously looking for a new site to use. CBSSports.com, Bleacher Report, which I didn't like the desktop version. I heard the mobile version's good. And Roto World, which is what my dad uses, and it's okay. It just doesn't, you know, give that updated scores and box scores like I would love for it to. And I also would love to do a segment right now. First of all, I have to give a shout to John Calipari and Dikembe Mutombo. I can't believe did I pronounce that right? High five. They have been nominated to go into the pro basketball, well, not pro basketball, but the Basketball Hall of Fame. And congratulations, John Calipari. The last day on the show is a trendsetter, and Dikembe Mutombo, known for the finger wag and rejected blocks, you know, they really deserve it. Oh, and by the way, people at the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony, fans were attended. And they actually disrespected, you know, chanting boring and, you know, just trashing the Hall of Fame class for WWE. And, you know, Chris Jericho, who does the podcast, Talk is Jericho, he was hot. My friend Isaiah Carlton showed me that. And I actually agree with Chris Jericho. Like, you don't see that at the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, or any of the main Hall of Fame ceremonies. Like, and it was just so disrespectful. If you're going to pay for a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, sit, enjoy, and, you know, watch them give their entertaining speech one more time. Or even if it isn't entertaining, just class. What, I mean, again, classless. This society is classless. I would love to do a segment right here. Of, you know how I talked about Kaminsky, Oak, Four Winslow, Decker, Tyus Jones, Quinn Cook. I love to talk about the bottom of the Eastern Conference. And I actually have the standings up right now. And I see teams such as the Milwaukee Bucks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Boston Celtics, the Pacers, the Heat, the Hornets. You know, they're all in contention, strangely, to make the playoffs. And then, you know, some of these guys could, you know, at least one, two, or three of these teams are going to end up with top 10 picks. Is that weird? And they used to not even compare to as good to not even half as good compared to the West. But I want to see, in the last few minutes, I'd love to talk about, you know, should they tank or should they make the playoffs? Milwaukee, I actually thought after the All-Star break and after they traded so many of their guys and just blew up the team, they traded Brandon Knight. And, you know, Jabari Parker's hurt and Larry Sanders isn't there anymore. And, you know, they've went down. They've obviously lost, you know, had a worse record, you know, since then than they began the season with. And they're under 500 now. And, you know, they actually hold a 4-game lead of actually getting out of the conference. I mean, getting out of the playoffs and missing it altogether. I think they actually end up making it. Just there's no more competition there. And it'd be really hard to actually lose. They haven't clinched a playoff spot yet, but it'd be actually hard for them to miss out. And so I think they should try to make the playoffs and make a good run. But they're like, if they meet up with the Bulls or the Raptors, they would probably lose in 5. They met with the Bulls, they would lose at 4. Let's be honest here. Quickly, the Brooklyn Nets, I think they should try to push for the playoffs. I think they have Mason Plumlee, they have Brook Lopez, Darren Williams, Joe Johnson. You know, they have talent there. They won't get past the first round, but you know, get in the playoffs. Try to entice people to come to Brooklyn in the off season through free agency. And Boston, my sports mentor Mike Salvitti mentioned him yesterday's podcast. I'm surprised they're even in contention right now, and you know they may actually make playoffs. I don't think they should. I don't think they should. I think they should actually tank and try to get a better pick. I don't even know if this was planned or not to get this close to the playoffs. Pacers, I think they should tank. I think they should tank. I don't think they will, but I think they should tank. You know, David West up there in age. Can't really rely on Roy Hibbert. And it's just, you know, the guard play. Paul George is back. But if you can get, you know, a good star to go along with Paul George, you know, maybe they can contend in the East next year or 2 years afterwards. The Heat, they have a lot of talent. They'd be interesting to watch. They're on a 4-game losing streak. If I had my way, I would just, please, either tank or win out or lose out as a Heat fan. And, you know, they'd be exciting watching the playoffs, but I want them to get better. I wouldn't be mad if they missed out on the playoffs. And Charlotte, I think they should contend. I think they should really push to get into the playoffs. They have so much talent, and they won't get past it. I mean, you could have an interesting series with Atlanta, but it's whatever. Thank you for listening. I have talked through an entire 30-minute podcast and still had some filler segments that I didn't get to. I appreciate the support. If you haven't already, go listen to the podcast with Dwayne Weaver. Incredible insight. I've gotten so much positive feedback on it. Thank you. I appreciate the love and support. Take care, guys. I love you all.